Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, August 10th, 2015. And as usual, we'd like to thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande, and here are our top stories this evening. Thousands throng the National Shrine in Harare to salute the country's heroes, with President Robert Mugabe making it clear that only those who fought in the 1970s Liberation War and remain in ZANU-PF will be considered for national hero status.
Heroes were and are consistently loyal to the liberation cause, have their patriotism, selflessness, courage, determination never questioned.
Zimbabweans failed in the responsibility to protect Cecil the Lion from being killed in an illegal hunt by an American citizen, President Mugabe said today.
Even Cecil the Lion is yours. He is dead, but he was yours to protect, and you failed to protect him.
And Michael Cariati gives us the weekend sports roundup, as some teams are in mourning while others are celebrating after the Chibuku Super Cup first round. These and much, much more coming up. Stay tuned. For years now, Zimbabweans have been debating why national heroes are only selected from President Robert Mugabe's party. Today, Mr. Mugabe made it clear that only those who participated in the liberation struggle and continue to show their allegiance to him and his ZANU-PF party will be conferred hero status when they die. Their history apparently does not matter. Mark Peter Ntambe reports from Harare.
Addressing the thousands who turned out to remember the country's liberation heroes at the National Shrine in Harare today, some of them perched on treetops so they could see and hear everything, President Mugabe said those who go into opposition politics should not expect to be granted hero status at the end of their lives. He said there were some misguided elements in society whom he accused of denigrating the country's heroes and the national shrines, adding some went as far as suggesting how national heroes should be selected, saying his party has the prerogative.
Here and now, such people better be advised to stop entertaining themselves with mirages. Let me make it abundantly clear that these sacred shrines are solely for our heroes who sacrificed their lives for the liberation of this country. Heroes were and are consistently loyal to the liberation cause, have their patriotism, selflessness, courage, determination never questioned.
For years, Zimbabweans have complained why liberation fighters like James Sikerema, Ndabaningi Sithole, Sheba Tabarwisa, Henry Hamadziripi, Lookout Masuku, Freedom Nyambaya, and Zinashe Machingura, among others, had been totally ignored or given lesser status when they died. Some who played critical roles in the liberation war and remained in ZANU-PF were ignored when they were alive. But Mr. Mugabe did not mince his words today. He said, and I quote, "Heroes proved to be heroes as they fought and lived for the independence. They never abandoned struggles. They never were rebels or selfish or what we now call sellouts.
Today, as we salute these fallen and living heroes for their unyielding tenacity and unflinching courage, we are sadly reminded of the human remains of some of our first Chimurenga heroes and heroines, the remains of our heroes sacred to us, which were taken out of the country during the colonial period, have now been identified in the British History Museum."
Mr. Mugabe also talked about the skulls of some of the Zimbabwean traditional leaders killed during the first Chimurenga and were taken to museums in the United Kingdom.
Surely, keeping decapitated heads as war trophies in this day and age, in a national history museum, must rank among the highest forms of racist, moral decadence, sadism, and human insensitivity.
The president said his government is prioritizing the improvement of education sector, teacher capacity development, and early childhood development. He said Zimbabwe remains highly ranked in terms of literacy, but said the country is pushing forward in making sure its youth mastered information and communication technologies, or ICTs. On the social services side, he promised to deliver some 300,000 houses to the country's poor by December 2018. Besides the thousands who walked to the Heroes Acre, diplomats, members of the judiciary, led by Chief Justice Godfrey Chijeosiku, cabinet ministers, church ministers, and others were also in attendance. Mbuya Maud Muzenda, the wife of the late Deputy President Simon Muzenda, was among the family members of the heroes that paid tribute to the heroes. She sat on her husband's grave and eulogized. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Mark Peter Ntambe.
Still on the heroes, Mr. Mugabe also spoke about Cecil the Lion, saying Zimbabweans had failed to protect the big cat from illegal hunters like American dentist Walter Palmer, who he described as vandals.
Even Cecil the Lion is yours. He is dead, but he was yours to protect and you failed to protect him. There are vandals who come from all over, of course. Some may be just ordinary visitors, but others would want to vandalize, to irregularly and illegally acquire part of those resources.
Meanwhile, the MDCT formation of former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai says it does not agree with President Mugabe's sentiments on who is a hero and who's not. Party spokesman Obed Gudu told Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri, Mr. Mugabe's attitude is the reason why some Zimbabweans boycotted attending national events like Heroes Day.
It is very unfortunate that Robert Mugabe said what we obviously expected him to say. According to him, anyone who doesn't bootlick him, anyone who doesn't pay allegiance to him as an individual and not Zimbabwe as a nation, is not a hero. We were not surprised, but at the same time, we were thoroughly disappointed that despite his very advanced age, he's still unmindful of the role that was played by thousands of other Zimbabweans who did not necessarily toe the ZANU-PF line. And it was really shocking for him to say, if you are MDC, you cannot be a hero. That means that according to him, the definition of heroism is a partisan definition.
That was MDCT spokesman Obed Gudu in Harare. Meanwhile, the National Constitutional Assembly, in its statement marking Heroes Day, said it's sad to see how things continue to deteriorate in the country 35 years after independence, adding ZANU-PF has returned Zimbabwe to what it said were diabolic policies reminiscent of the colonial era. ZANU-PF Central Committee member and Makokoma legislator, retired Colonel Chinga, who attended today's commemorations, tells reporter Sandekile Mhlanga, President Mugabe's speech should not be misinterpreted to mean only ZANU-PF faithfuls can be declared heroes, as some of his party members have also failed to qualify for the honor.
I went there to participate together with others at Heroes Acre. It was a very moving day. A lot of people came, and I can only suppose he means that in a certain category, a certain criteria they use to declare someone a hero. His participation liberation war and so forth. So I don't think it really has to do with a party more than that. There are many people who are ZANU-PF, but we have not been declared heroes. You see, the other part of it, I don't know.
As one of the freedom fighters, do you think Zimbabwe has achieved a lot since independence?
Well, I think the fact is that we're fighting to liberate our country so that we are independent. That was achieved. But there have been challenges that go on when you rule the country.
That was a retired Colonel Chinga Dube Makokoba, legislator and ZANU-PF Central Committee member, on the line with reporter Standekile Mhlanga from Harare. Zimbabwe has lifted a temporary ban on lion, leopard and elephant hunts imposed following the killing of Cecil the Lion last month, with strict conditions set for professional hunters and safari operators. In a message on its website, the Zimbabwe Professional Hunters and Guides Association says the ban will be maintained in some areas in Matabeleland and North Province where the lion was killed. According to the Hunters Association, the hunting of these animals will now be attended by officials of the National Parks and Wildlife Management, and there will be no further hunting of collared iconic animals. Violators of these new regulations will be banned for life. State officials were not reachable for comment as they were not responding to calls on their mobile phones. Studio 7's Gibbs Dube reached Carol Baskin, founder and chief executive of Big Cat Rescue, an organization fighting for the protection of big cats, who says the lifting of the ban is ill-timed.
The coalition has been trying to get the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to list the lion as a threatened species, so it would make it much harder for the hunters to export their trophies.
In this case, you know, the lifting of the ban appears to be having some conditions, that if anyone wants to kill a lion, one has to be accompanied by a state official. So can that work in terms of protecting these wild animals?
I think they need an outright ban altogether. The notion that you can kill wild animals in order to save them is something that is only promoted by the hunters and not believed by anyone in the conservation arena.
How difficult is it really, Baskin, to fight for the conservation of some of these animals?
It has been very difficult because people don't know the horrible ways that these animals are slaughtered and then transported as trophies. And so I think Cecil really did an amazing job in waking the world up to what's happening there.
That was Carol Baskin of Big Cat Rescue speaking with Studio 7 from California here in the USA. Gibbs Dube also spoke with Sally Wayne Pittman of Zambezi Society, who says lions are not the only animals being decimated by hunters.
It's a much grayer area than just the black and white that we've seen in the media over this issue. However, with my Zambezi Society hat on, I'm particularly concerned about something that we consider to be possibly an even more disastrous situation than the lion situation here, and that is that we've lost nearly 75% of our elephants within a certain area of on the southern boundary of Lake Kariba in the Zambezi Valley. In another part of the valley further east, we've lost 40%, and that to us is extremely worrying. This is a poaching issue. We believe that this is something that the international community needs to hear about just as much as it does about issues like Cecil the Lion.
How serious is poaching, you know, in Zimbabwe when you look at elephants, you look at lions, you look at all those kind of things?
One of the problems, Gibbs, is that there hasn't been a lot of money for anti-poaching over the last decade. We've seen, obviously, a considerable reduction in funding for conservation.
That was Sally Wayne Pittman speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. Professional hunter Dumisani Sibanda says animal trophy hunting is benefiting some locals, though Cecil was allegedly killed illegally.
These guys had no quota and they had no permit to shoot the lion. So all what they had to do is to acquire a permit from the national parks and a quota for the lion. But this year, there was no quota issued in Gwaii Conservancy for lion hunts.
What do professional hunters derive when they go hunting? Is it a sport?
Yeah, it's called sport hunting. It's meant for sport people who come here and shoot lions or elephant or any animal for trophy. That's called sport hunting.
Is there any pleasure that you derive from this kind of sport?
Yeah, for sure.
So do communities actually benefit from some of these hunts?
Yes, they do, because some of these outfitters, they donate to the clinics or to the schools. Quite a number of clinics that have been built through hunting, and a lot of companies are sponsoring the schools here.
That was a professional hunter Dumisani Sibanda speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Dete Wange District, Matabeleland North Province.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metom Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up, stay tuned to hear more about an upcoming program to treat women with fistula problems. But first, a look at regional and international news. A man who shot at police in the U.S. city of Ferguson, Missouri, is in critical condition after officers returned fire on the sidelines of what had been a peaceful march marking the first anniversary of the shooting death of an unarmed black teenager by a white police officer. An improving job market and expected interest rates increases have been strengthening the value of the dollar, while worries about China's economic growth and a rising oil supply are hitting the price of oil. And Haiti held a long-awaited parliamentary elections yesterday, taking a step toward political instability. I beg your pardon, taking a political stability in a country still working to recover from a devastating 2010 earthquake. The first ever Zimbabwe Annual Diaspora Arts Festival took off this weekend with artists from Zimbabwe, Ghana, Botswana and Nigeria showcasing their talent. The festival also had a number of vendors displaying their wares to sell to those who were in attendance. To tell us more about the festival, we have the convener, Tsitsi Mazongwe, in the studio with us. Good evening, Tsitsi.
Good evening, Chris.
Yes, can you tell us about the festival? First of all, why did you come up with the idea of having this diaspora festival in the U.S.?
The reason why we came up with the Zimbabwe Diaspora Arts Festival was to help build new markets and partnerships for Zimbabwean artists and the diaspora community at large. This year's theme for our festival, for the Zimbabwe Diaspora Arts Festival, was celebrating culture, identity, beauty, and knowledge. And what we're trying to do is to strengthen the diaspora community by perpetuating Zimbabwean culture and traditions through music, poetry, dance, and theater.
Yes, now we see that you did not invite only Zimbabweans, although this is a Zimbabwean festival, diasporas festival. Why did you have other nationalities?
The Zimbabwean Diaspora Arts Festival fully embraces the ideals of diversity by acknowledging and including other local artists here in America and other parts of the world.
Since this was the first annual festival that was held, what can you say about it? Was there something that you think you are going to improve for when it comes to next year?
Absolutely. This was our first year to have this event, and culture is knowledge and freedom of expression. And the professional practice of visual art in poetry, music, or whatever it is essential in contributing to the quality of life for the people here in the diaspora and people elsewhere. So we're hoping that next year we'll be able to get sponsors to help us make this event a much more success. As I said earlier on, that festivals reinforce development and they help to build creative economies. I'm hoping that we can have a better year next year, and once people start to know us, the things that I heard this time was that our marketing strategy was a little bit constrained in terms of the location that we had, and the if we were much more aggressive in our marketing, people didn't want to come in paying $20, to pay to get into the festival. So like I said, if we have help, then we can have free events.
Okay, thank you so much, Tsitsi Matsongwe. We wish you all the best for next year.
Thank you, Chris, for having me.
Thank you. You're welcome. At the Women and Health Alliance International Chinoy Provincial Hospital, the Minister of Health and their partners in the United Nations will next Monday launch another obstetric fistula operation campaign in Zimbabwe, with plans to assist some 45 women living with the debilitating condition. The program, which will run from August 18 to August 31st, will assist women throughout the country with free transportation, boarding, consultations, and surgeries being provided by doctors. Reporter Tatenda Gumbo speaks with the national coordinator for the program, Priscilla Mabende, who explains the procedure.
An obstetric fistula usually occurs when a woman undergoes a particularly difficult or prolonged labor, resulting in either the rupturing of her bladder or the rupturing of her rectum, and she becomes incontinent, which means leaking either feces or urine or both feces and urine from the vaginal cavity, which is the birth canal. So this is an occurrence after childbirth.
And how can women who might find themselves having this condition get assistance or find out more about this program?
We have an outreach number on which the women can call. Or if you know a woman who has this condition, you can call, send a message or a WhatsApp on this number, 0782-640-840. I will repeat the outreach number, 0782-640-840. If they get in touch with us, we'll try our level best to make sure that every woman who reaches out to us who has this condition is assisted.
Ms. Mabande, we know that the campaign sees many different cases of women who come through the doors for surgery. Can you tell us some of the extreme cases that you have seen to show that it doesn't matter how long you have had this condition, you can get assistance?
We had a woman who had 9 children. The 9th delivery she had was the one which caught the fistula, However, this woman had been living with the condition for 27 years now. She had the operation done. She stayed in the hospital 3 weeks of recovery. And by the time she left the hospital, she said to us, "I thank you so much, the team of Waha. For 27 years, the people in my village called me the old woman with smells of urine. They have restored my dignity. They have restored my humanity." So no case is too old for our search to handle. We just encourage that you get over the fear that there is no help. There is help available for you. We have also had young women who've had their children from the ages of about 15. They've lived the condition until they're in their 20s. When they've come to us, they've been able to get assistance. So many women are sitting at home thinking, "I am a lost cause. There is no help for me. This cannot be fixed." But we are saying it can be fixed surgically. You can be repaired and you can recover your life.
That was National Coordinator for the Program Outreach with Women and Health Alliance International, Priscilla Mabende, speaking to Studio 7 on the line from Harare. Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will lead discussions about Heroes Day and related issues. And to join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you right back from our studios. And in sports news, it was a weekend of celebration for some and mourning for others as the Chibuku Super Cup first round came and went. Reporter Michael Kariati tells us what happened.
Some are celebrating while others are in mourning. That is the status quo in Zimbabwean sport after the Chevrons of Zimbabwe were humiliated by New Zealand, while Capes United and Highlanders fell by the wayside in the Chibuku Super Cup. The Chevrons yesterday lost out by a massive 80 runs as New Zealand won the one-off T20 game after posting a massive 198 runs in their allotted 20 overs. In return, Zimbabwe could only manage a paltry 118 runs to lose three of the four games the two teams met in the 1 week the Black Cats had been in Zimbabwe. There was also sad news for the green machine of Capes United, after they were bundled out of the Chibuku Super Cup by ZPC Kariba. The two teams ended 2-0 in regulation time before Katuruturu 1-4-3 on post-match penalties. This was Sande Chidzambwa's first win since taking over at the Katuruturu, but the coach admits they were very lucky to come out with a win.
Caps came into the game in the second half and they scored two goals, but I thought we were lucky to get the second goal.
Chidzambwa says they knew that the match could spill into penalty shootouts, adding that they were prepared fully for such an eventuality.
Every coach, if you're playing a cup game, you have to work on these penalties, and we did.
Although defeated, Capes United coach Mark Mate says he's happy with his team's performance, but is crying over too many missed opportunities.
We are our own worst enemies. We should have put the game to bed in the last minute. Chances that we got there could have been safe. But look, overall, I'm happy with the team.
Also joining Capes United out of the Chibuku Super Cup are Highlanders, who were beaten 4-3 by Aumine, also on post-match penalties. The Chibuku Super Cup has no provision for extra time, and Triangle also beat Cholocho Pirates 3-0 after penalty shootouts. Triangle are hoping for a second trophy in 2 years after winning the One Wallet Cup last season, and their supporter Miriam Chawira was very happy upon seeing her team win. The other Chibuku Super Cup results were as follows: Dynamos 1, Wawa 0, Chapungu 2, Flame Lily 1, Chicken Inn 2, Wange 0. Defending Chibuku champions FC Platinum are also through to the quarterfinals after overcoming Longoso Mills 2-0 at Mandava Stadium. This weekend, action returns to the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League program. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
Thanks, Michael. That's it for tonight. My name is Chris Gande, and now I'm leaving you in the hands of Standekile Mhlanga, giving you tonight's Ndebele News Bulletin. Good night, Zimbabwe.